Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And welcome to Table Manners. I'm Jessie Ware and I'm here with Mum on a Zoom.
Hi, darling. I just got the most lovely present in the post.
What?
A guide to the Yiddish kitchen. So I'm really excited. The title is So Eat, My Darling, A Guide to the Yiddish Kitchen. It's so old and it's got all little Yiddish proverbs in it.
Oh, amazing.
It's really sweet, yeah.
The front cover looks so unappetizing.
I know. The inside is very unappetizing too, but it's quite funny. It's well written.
Well, do you want to know what I've been up to this evening, just before we, this guest that is, you know, a bit of a siren, and some people have always said that, you know, me and her can look quite similar.
Yeah.
But I've been doing a knit treatment on my hair because my daughter has had knits 3 times. This hair, I want to shave it off. Anyway, we've got Gemma Arterton on the show tonight, who actually did have to shave her head.
She didn't.
Well, I don't know if she shaved her head. Well, she's a nun in this new BBC mini-drama called Black Narcissus.
Oh, a lot goes on under a wimple, darling.
She's like a sexy nun.
I don't think she's supposed to be sexy.
Well, I'm not going to give anything away.
I watched the first episode.
It looks like it's been shot on film. I want to ask her if it's been shot on film. Anyway, we've been wanting to have Gemma Arterton on for a very long time. And I'm pretty gutted that I'm not going to be able to see.
She's not coming to the house.
Yeah.
I wanted a photo with her.
I did too. But to be fair, I quite like everyone thinking that we look the same when we don't really. So if we were right next to each other in a photo, maybe it would really show up the fact that I look nothing like Gemma Arterton. But yeah, Gemma Arterton, you know, you've seen her in Tamara Drew, which I really loved. St. Trinian's Prince of Persia, when I love that she brought her mate over to be the personal trainer because they said she needed to get a personal trainer. She was like, okay, I'll fly somebody out. And she brought over her best mate to come, which I just think is the best story ever of Hollywood. So she's brilliant. Mum, is this our first Bond girl?
Yes.
Da-da, da-da.
I want to hear what it's like to snog Pierce.
No, she wasn't with Pierce. She was with Daniel Craig.
Oh, I'd have preferred Pierce. Be a bit more fun.
Anyway.
I bet Pierce would have done tongue.
Jesus, Mum. The delightful Gemma Arterton coming up on Table Manners. Gemma Arterton, we finally meet, not in person. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Oh.
Well, it's been a while us trying to get you. We've been discussing this for, I think, a good few years. And finally we have you. It's annoying that I'm not getting to see the person that everyone says I look like so much, which is the greatest compliment in the world, I can tell you right now. You are a siren.
Jessie, it's the same thing. I've had the same thing where people have told me that I look like you. And I'm like, I love her so much.
Must be having a bad day. You're very sweet.
Oh, come on. You're gorgeous. Don't you also have a sister called Hannah?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Snap.
It's really weird, isn't it? Have you got a brother?
No, unfortunately not.
Shame.
You have a brother, obviously.
Just do it, Mum. Get it over and done
no,
with.
No, 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 it's
it.
Fine. I'm going to hold
back. He's a doctor.
Gemma, you knew. The Thank you.
Big up doctors saving lives and being the best.
How are you, Gemma? I mean, it's quite nifty that you've got a few things coming out.
I know.
At the end of the year.
It's nifty.
When did you finish filming Black? And I'm going to say, is it Narcissus? Because you kind of say it like that in the thing.
That's very exotic, Jesse, the way you said it. Just Narcissus.
Narcissus. All right, fine. Black Narcissus.
Narcissus.
So when did you stop filming it? And where did you film it?
We finished filming it at Christmas of last year. So like the 2 days before Christmas. And we filmed it in Nepal and Pinewood Studios in London. God, it feels like a lifetime ago because, you know, it was amazing. We were in Nepal this time last year in Himalayas. Yeah.
Was it wonderful?
Absolutely incredible. One of, if not the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. It was just so pure. It took us 2.5 days to get to the final destination where we were filming.
Crikey.
Which was just completely remote. There was hardly any, you know, modern amenities. It was just the nature. It was incredibly stunning. And just feel very lucky to have been able to go now that we've been stuck in.
Forever.
For most of the year.
Did you eat well in Nepal?
Do you know, we actually did. We weren't expecting to because we'd been told, you know, you've got to watch out Delhi Belly and all of that and bring your Imodium. But where we stayed, which was like a traveller's lodge, it was absolutely stunning. So they can't grow that much up there because it's so high, the altitude's so high. So the food is mostly, it's very basic. You eat a lot of yak up there.
Yeah.
They had a place called Yak Donald's, which we all got very excited about.
Yak Donald's.
And you can have yak burgers and yak butter, yak milk, which is really lovely. But also a lot of really beautiful like garlic soups and a lot of like lovely dals, very spicy Nepalese food. And it was like really just had gorgeous food. And one of the places we were staying in, they had one of those pits where you sit around and you put a blanket over the table because it's freezing cold. Obviously it's, you know, the top of a mountain and all your feet are all toasty by the pit of the fire. And then you're eating around. It was just gorgeous. And we were, yeah, we ate really well. I was very surprised and no problems.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. It's really, really, thank you for clarifying. I just want to know, what does yak taste like?
Well, I didn't actually eat the yak because I don't, I do eat a bit of meat, but I tend not to. And I had met a yak on the first day of filming. We had two yaks on set, a black yak and a white yak. It's quite hard to say. And they were so sweet. That then I just thought I just couldn't possibly eat a yak. But yak butter and yak milk is lovely. It's sort of, it doesn't taste sort of like, I don't know, it just tastes like regular. I guess they're not that far away from cows.
Are they bovine? They are bovine. I've just looked at a picture. They look a bit like a hairy bull, don't they?
Yeah, lots of hair, lots of sort of long hair, a long-haired bull, I'd say.
Do they make cheese from it as well?
They do, yeah. We had some yak cheese as well. But in Yak Donald's, you have
Yak Donald's.
The yak burger and yak cheese. And it's sort of, it's quite well known, this place, Yak Donald's. It's, people come from all over the world to go there. It's very bizarre.
Just to say you've been there.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, with the filming of Black Narcissus, it really felt like it was shot on film. And it felt almost like it had that tension of Don't Look Now, a film like that, where there was all the silences. And it felt really kind of, yeah, like it was beautifully shot, but it kind of, they'd aged it in a way, treated it and graded it, that it felt like it had this kind of older, timeless quality about it, which was really interesting.
Well, the director was also the director of photography, and she's amazing. She's called Charlotta Bruce Christensen, and she wanted to shoot on film, but she wasn't allowed. And so
yeah,
I think
standard.
Her aim, standard, but I think her aim was to create something that like harkened. Basically, there's a film called Black Narcissus that's a classic film from 1947 and won Oscars for cinematography and was groundbreaking and is like Scorsese's favourite film. And so I think we had a lot to live up to in terms of the cinematography. So I think, yeah, she did want to pay tribute to that film, but at the same time make it her take on it. And also, I think the storytelling is very... We kept referencing like Bergman, because there's a lot of these... It's a psychological thriller, really. And a lot of the drama is inside the characters and in the silences. And so a lot of our references were the kind of Bergman films like Persona and... So, yeah, it's good that you noticed that in the what you saw.
No, it was brilliant. And you also have a film coming out. What is the film?
Yeah.
Have you got The King something?
The King's Man. The King's Man.
The King's Man.
Yes.
When's it coming out?
The King's Man. I think it comes out in February. So Black Narcissus is in Christmas Day, I believe.
Oh, lovely.
So I think it's three episodes. So I think it's the first episode's on Christmas Day. So hopefully you won't fall asleep after your Christmas dinner watching it.
No, you are amazing in it. You look beautiful, even with a skinhead, babe. It really suits you. Did you cut your hair?
I shaved the underneath and the sides.
God.
And so I had this weird hairstyle for a very... I still am growing it out, actually. I've got like short bits all over the place. I didn't shave the whole lot off. They had amazing people doing wigs and things like that. But... yeah, I loved wearing the habit, though.
It suited you.
Loved it.
Did you? Why?
I just loved how it's sort of quite beautiful, actually. Our one was white.
It frames your face.
But it was very simple, and all it does is it takes everything away. So you haven't got any ears. You haven't got, you know, you can't, everything's constricted, but it sort of frames you. And I loved wearing it. And also it was quite... You haven't really got anywhere to hide in terms of, you know, acting, because there's no hair or there's nothing you can fiddle with. You can't kind of... So it was quite blunt, but I loved it. Loved it. I miss it. I miss that habit.
I want to know what it was like growing up. Where did you grow up and what were you and your sister Hannah eating around the dinner table?
So we grew up in Kent in Gravesend, now made famous because Laura from Bake Off is also from Gravesend and she talks about it all the time.
Oh, lovely Laura, blonde Laura.
Yeah, she went to school with my sister, apparently.
Did she?
Yes. So, yeah, we were raised by my mum predominantly, who was a trained chef. But in the late 70s, early 80s, and she found it to be an absolutely horrific job at the time for women. And so trained and then gave it all up and then became sort of adverse to cooking and sort of a bit scarred by the whole experience. So we sort of grew up, you know, she would cook for us, but it would be sort of reluctant, or there were a few dishes that she... you know, did that we loved, like macaroni and cheese and things like that. But it wasn't a big part of our lives growing up, food, really. It wasn't until I kind of left drama school and when I was like a, you know, young adult that I started getting interested in cooking. We did have, you know, family meals and things like that, but it wasn't ever a, you know, a big thing in our household, which I'm sort of a bit sad about, because when I listened to your show, I was thinking, God, you had amazing, you know, obviously you're such an incredible cook, both of you are, but it just wasn't really part of our upbringing.
So do you think that was because of her visceral reaction to just feeling so kind of destroyed by the industry?
I think so. I think she was a natural cook and she grew up in a household with four other siblings. So there were five of them and she cooked every night for the family. So she was raised cooking and then sort of naturally went into that as a profession. And she wanted to be like a pâtissier, like a pastry chef. And she did have a cake making company while we were kids. You know, she did birthday cakes and wedding cakes and things like that. So I remember her cooking, but because... she did have a really hard time in the chef industry at that time, and she was very young. And it's very, very different to how it is now. I think it's obviously it's still very competitive and very exhausting and long hours and all of that. But I think she particularly didn't enjoy it. So I think cooking for her became this sort of thing that she'd do as a, well, I have to do it, rather than as an enjoyable thing, which is such a shame because she was gifted at it. And I think she associated it with having to cook. And yeah, and she learned some real, like, her skills that she learned are so, like, of the 70s as well. Like, you know, the French style of cooking. And she still remembers all of that stuff, but again, it's not an enjoyable thing for her. And she did teach us like baking, because that's the thing that I really enjoy doing now is baking. And I think I learned that as a kid from her, which she did teach me how to make cakes and pastries and whatnot.
What else is getting you through lockdown, food-wise, takeaway-wise?
Yes. So we have our sort of takeaway once a week, really, like as a treat. And there's this place called Motu, which is like
it's the best.
Indian. It's so good. And so we have that once a week. My husband is a really good cook, and he basically mostly cooks. I do the odd meal, which is never as good as what he does. I do sometimes make bakes and things like that, but it's in terms of getting through stuff, I paint, and I've been doing this amazing fine art course.
Oh, wow.
So I've been doing that. Thank God.
Are you doing it online?
No, I go to this place in Battersea called the London Fine Art Studio, and I've been learning basically, like, you know, I've always drawn and painted but never had any sort of real technique. So I started doing that and I absolutely love it. And it's been completely come at the right time. During lockdown, I did start doing that course online, but then I ended up going into the atelier to do it, which is a totally different experience because you get to paint from life and work with sitters and, you know, just even being around people, even though we're all like socially distanced and all that, just being in that sort of atelier environment is really, it's so lovely.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I don't know if this is common knowledge because my friend told me. No, I think it is. You're going to be Dusty Springfield.
Yeah, apparently I am. Yes, yes.
Wow! This is the best. Surely this is the greatest role you will ever have in your life. Surely. This is amazing. You're going to sing. You're a great singer. Mm. You're going to do everything. This is amazing.
I know. I'm kind of a bit terrified of it, but at the same time, like, really excited. It won't be sort of like Bohemian Rhapsody or Rocket Man. It's not that kind of...
So what is it going to be?
It's much more intimate, and it's about Dusty's a specific moment in her life when she made Dusty in Memphis and she went to America for the first time and you know, did that amazing, incredible album and defied everybody's expectations because she was this kind of, you know, big singer from England who was doing these big, massive ballads, very dramatic stuff, Burt Bacharach stuff, and then went to Memphis and started singing, you know, stuff that was written for Aretha Franklin and, like, killed it.
But doubted herself, though, didn't she?
Yeah, massively. And it's about her and, you know, she was gay and didn't... she was out. She wasn't hiding it. She was gay and proud, but she, you know, she... I think one of the reasons she moved to America was to kind of escape that scrutiny from the UK British press. And so it's about her, this very specific moment in her life when she was really at the top of her game creatively, where she felt she was the most creative, but at the same time doubting herself, as you do when you're going through like really massive creative processes. And at the same time, it's about dealing with her love life in that sphere. And there's so much stuff that I've read and learnt about her that is so fascinating. Like, for example, she moved to America to escape the press and live this sort of more relaxed life, I guess, living in LA. And she wrecked her voice, absolutely wrecked it, from smoking and booze and fags and drugs and everything. And sort of, you know, her career kind of just slid away from her in the 70s. And it didn't really come back until the 80s when she worked with Pet Shop Boys. And so there was this sort of really bleak time in the 70s where she was absolutely broke, kind of on drugs and a wreck. And she used to go into drag clubs and do Dusty Springfield acts in, like, Dusty Springfield competitions and pretend to be Dusty.
You're joking.
In order to win like $100 or $50 or something. And sometimes she didn't win.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Sometimes. But she'd be like, you know, doing like lip sync for your life kind of thing as Dusty. And people would be like, no, 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 she hasn't got it. I just love it. And she would laugh at herself about it. You know, she was very funny and very eccentric. And that's the side of her that I think is really interesting, this kind of comedic side, and the fact that she was very sarcastic and sardonic, and she could laugh at herself, but was very, very troubled as well. But yeah, so it's you know, like how these things go, like it's been going through different variations over the last few years. But yeah, I really hope it happens and I get to do it. And I get
oh
to
my God,
do her justice. Yeah, I mean, her voice.
Oh, I bet you will.
You know, whatever. We'll see.
I want to know what would be the dish that Gemma Arterton would make for everyone to kind of, I'm presuming it would be potentially a cake.
Yeah.
What's the cake that Gemma Arterton would make for everyone?
Well, it probably isn't a showstopper, but it is a tasty cake. I'd make a lemon meringue tart.
Ooh.
Really, really zesty lemon curd, crunchy pastry, and lots of meringue. I also really like a gypsy tart, which is a Kentish tart, and it was done on Bake Off this year, but didn't go well. And I always thought if I ever went on there, I'd do that, because it's such a guilty pleasure tart. It's just basically loads of brown sugar and condensed milk, and it tastes amazing. A gypsy tart, yeah.
And what would be your last supper before going off to the desert island, or before you go off to shoot your Dusty Springfield biopic miniseries? You know, maybe it's not a miniseries, but you're going off. What is going to be your starter, your main, your pudding, and your drink of choice?
I think it would be a cheese on toast. I don't really mind about starters. I do like really good bread, like a beautiful grainy sourdoughy bread with loads of cheddar cheese, like really strong cheddar, Worcester sauce, grilled, little bit of a skin on top. That, oh my God, that is for me the best food ever, ever, ever. Cheese on toast.
I can relate to that. I love cheese, yeah, as well. I think it's great.
It just is my happy food. I know, there's loads of stuff that I love, but that is the stuff that gets me like, oh, yes.
Does it make you sleepless, though?
Yes.
Because my husband had cheese last night with you, Mum, and he was in it like up all night, just couldn't sleep. It made him, he thinks it was the cheese that made him an insomniac last night.
No.
I don't know.
They do say that, though. They say cheese gives you nightmares.
Yeah, I know.
I know that for myself, I can't eat too late or drink too late because I suffer from, like, insomnia. So if I eat or drink too late, that's it. Like, my body just can't deal with it. But cheese, some people can, some people can't. But, yeah, cheese, I've heard, it just...
So do you go to bed late or early?
No, I go to bed at the same time every day. I have to, otherwise I've got like a rhythm now that I have to live with. But yeah, it's sometimes I can't sleep and that's okay.
So what do you do when you can't sleep? Do you just get up?
Yeah, I get up. I've got like things I do. I get up, I make a little like hot milk drink. I maybe do a bit of yoga, but like gentle, nothing major, and then read. And then that usually, if I get a bit sleepy, then I usually drift off then. The worst thing I can do is lay there and fret.
No, hopeless. Jessie does not suffer with insomnia. Jessie could sleep sitting here now.
Oh, you're so lucky.
No, I know. Pudding. I want to know what your pudding is and your drink of choice, Gemma.
I don't know. I think it might be something warming, like a, I don't know, like a apple crumble with warm custard, something like that. I make lots of crumble. Or a tarte tatin. With custard, I think, or
you're going
or
to
ice
have
cream.
To come round and eat with us, Gemma, definitely.
And I'll do you do a tarte tatin?
You did a really good one the other day. And Simon Rogan, actually, we had on the podcast, who is Longclume Simon Rogan chef. And I've never, you probably have thought of this, but we'd never thought to put salt in our tarte tatin. And it just like adds that little, it's really good and it's like a no-brainer. Mm. But anyway, it was very, very delicious.
Actually, Longclume is the restaurant that I've been trying all through this year. We've been trying to go and then it's been lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. And that's one of the restaurants I'm desperate to go to when lockdown comes away.
So do you like to go and eat out, and do you like to kind of try new places, or are you quite the kind of, you know, creature of habit?
No, I love to go and eat out and absolutely, like when we go away, our whole trips are based around where we're going to go and eat. You know, we research all the restaurants. We, you know, that is the main thing that we do when we go away is find beautiful restaurants and eat there. And we'll even go away to a place just so that we can go to a specific restaurant. So yeah, that's one of the things I've missed immensely.
You travel far and wide to go for these experiences, for this, the taste of something. What has been your best dining experience? If you've been to all these places, I'm sure you've been around the world to places. Is there one that really sits with you as one of the most memorable, good or bad?
Let me think. Yeah, I think I had one meal in New Zealand with my uncle who lives in New Zealand. I can't remember the restaurant, it's terrible of me, but it was a tiny little restaurant in Auckland. Oh my God, the food was incredible, and the wines, because obviously New Zealand are known for their wines. That was a really memorable meal. Another one was... my husband and I went to Iceland. We love Iceland and we've been a couple of times, and we went to this unbelievable place in the middle of nowhere called Deplar Farm, which is an old dairy farm on the sort of northeast coast of Iceland. And we were there, basically we were like the only people there because there was a snowstorm and nobody could get to it. And it is a magical place, absolutely incredible. And we had a chef there who would come out every day and say, look, what we've got today is this, this and this. What do you want me to do tonight? And because we were only people there, he was like our chef. He would just cook for us every day. And we just had the most beautiful, like really local food, because in Iceland, because it's so cold, they can't grow stuff in the way that we have in mainland Europe, you know. So they have to have like a, you know, they do a lot of more like a fermented food, and but they do it in a really beautiful way. So that was amazing stuff as well.
That kind of feels like an opening to a Bond film as well. There's something that, like being snowed in and kind of being in, I don't know, it sounds like an opening. I wanted to know, were you a school dinners or a packed lunch kind of girl at school?
Packed lunch.
What was in it? What was the packed lunch? What was the lunchbox?
It was a pink, the one I remember was a pink Care Bear lunchbox with like stickers all over it, like little hearts and rainbows and stuff. I used to have Dairy Lee sandwiches, white bread, hula hoops, maybe a green apple, which never eat. And your mum would put it in there and you'd never eat it. And then as I got older, I would make my own packed lunch, and it would be Marmite and cheese sandwiches, and I'd put crisps in them. Yeah, that's what I remember, just Marmite and basically Marmite and cheese sandwich with crisps. I mean... happy days.
Gemma, if you'd like me to add to that, and I'm sure you probably know, but a really great addition to the Marmite and cheese sandwich is peanut butter.
Oh, I know already. Marmite peanut butter is in my cupboard at the moment and love it.
Oh, it's good. I'm glad that they did that. It's good. I mean, I still feel like it's better when you do it your own ratio.
Yeah, I agree.
But yes, it is good.
Oh, do they make a jar?
Yes, Marmite peanut butter.
Up?
It's like they hurt. Yeah, I mean, wow. Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it's not just a pinata and wear thing.
It's an actual thing.
Arterton thing.
Have you ever had peanut butter and white miso paste?
Oh, no, but I can imagine that would work.
Highly recommend.
What would you have it on, though?
Just toast.
Shut up. Gemma, this... is a new one for me. This is really exciting.
A friend of mine recommended it last year and I was like, that wouldn't work. Try it. It is, actually I prefer it to the Marmite peanut butter because it's more subtle. The miso taste is a little bit more subtle.
The umami, mothers.
Oh, the umami.
It's the umami. I think it would work nicely with celery as well, like spread over some celery, nice and crunchy.
Do you bake your own bread?
I do, yeah, I do attempt it. We, in this household, we do make soda bread quite regularly, which is super easy to make. Make it with buttermilk and bicarbonate of soda instead of yeast. That's the raising agent.
Yeah, it's really easy.
So you don't have to do any raising, which is really nice. And my husband, who, as I say, is an amazing cook.
Is Irish as well.
He's Irish.
Hence the soda bread, yeah.
Hence the soda bread. And he has one of those big green egg barbecues. And during the summer, we would bake our bread on it. And it was amazing. Like a different world of bread.
Gemma, do you have good table manners? I kind of feel like you're a classy bird. You're there. You're very graceful. I feel like you're fine, aren't you?
Yeah. She's a Bond girl. She wouldn't have been picked if she was rubbish.
Well, I think that I've been... I've learnt...
And a nun.
And a nun. I think I taught myself good table manners because in my house, it's just... You know, as I said, we didn't really sit down for dinner that often and it wasn't a thing. So I've sort of had to pick it up from watching people. All we had was we weren't allowed to put our elbows on the table when we were kids. But aside from that, like I still, this is terrible. I eat with the fork in my right hand and the number of people that go, are you left-handed or are you cack-handed or whatever? And it's just because we were never taught. It didn't make sense to me why you would eat with the fork in your left hand when you mainly use the fork to pick stuff up like Americans. And then now I have to kind of make myself swap over. I have, when I'm with other people, I realize, oh God, no, I've got the fork in the wrong hand. That's the thing I always am aware of. I eat with the fork in the wrong hand.
I've never known anybody else that does that apart from my husband. So that's very good, interesting to know. Gemma, last but not least, what would your karaoke song would be? And have you been practicing Dusty on the karaoke?
I have done a little bit of practicing, not on the karaoke. I'm not ready to publicly out her yet. I'd have to do one of those karaoke sessions on my own, which I have done in the past. Me and my friend, we would go to, there used to be a karaoke bar down the road and me and my friend would just go there and hire a room, just us two. And we'd be in there four or five hours, just going through.
Just singing along.
Yeah, all the songs.
I'd love that.
It's so good. And you tell the bar people, just keep them coming. Just keep the drinks coming. We don't leave this. We're not going to leave this room for 5 hours. So I do love singing and I love karaoke. What would be my karaoke go-to? Probably, it's probably like a really, you know, like Bonnie Tyler type thing, you know, where you can really go for it.
Is that like 5 hour drinks in or is that like your opening gambit?
Opening gambit. 5 hour drinks in is like...
You're Dusty when she was going to the drag shows, yeah? Okay, cool, got it.
Yeah. No, 5 hour drinks in is like, if it's two of you, you're thinking about duets and you're like, oh yeah, Brandy and Monica, or you know, like you're really going through them now, hoping that they're in the karaoke songbook somewhere.
Gemma, thank you so much for doing this. I really am gutted that I didn't get to meet my beautiful doppelganger.
Doppelganger. But one day we will.
Maybe. Well, I don't know. Maybe this is me being real Stan. But I remember seeing you on the Columbia Road once. And I felt like we gave each other a knowing look. However, I've now seen that you have glasses and I feel like potentially you didn't see me, but I was like, hey, girl. I was like, hey, I see you. You see me. And I thought we nodded at each other. And I can see what you're trying to do and you're a very good actress, but I know you don't remember that moment.
Yeah, Jessie, hang on. Let me just have a moment here. You have no idea how much of a fan of you I am. I've not been like,
stop.
No. Seriously. Seriously. Like, when your first album came out, I was obsessed with it. And any of my friends will tell you, they were like, yeah, I mean, she just played it constantly. So I probably did see you on the street and was like, okay. Oh my God, probably more than you would for me.
Oh, shut up, Gemma. Look, I remember.
No, it's the truth.
Look, I'm very touched.
But I also am a bit boss-eyed.
As am I. Do you think that's...
Oh my God.
Do you think that's why they say that we look alike, just because they see the boss eye?
Because we've got slightly... One of my eyes goes slightly in.
It's a real frustration.
That's what it is.
Can you teach me how to look into the camera properly? Because that is the bugger for me, that I never know how to look in the camera. I'm like this, kind of like, I don't know what to do.
Do you know what? I learnt the hard way. They would always do these close-ups of me, like, doing a scene with someone, and I was always boss-eyed when I was younger. The trick is to get that camera away, because I'm long-sighted. So as soon as anything comes close, it's boss-eyed.
Gemma,
central.
We are the same person. Long-sighted.
We are the same.
This is so funny. I'm really glad that I've just learned the boss-eyed trick from you, because... My top comment of my first music video was, is she blind?
Oh, no. That's
terrible. No one told me.
Your eyes were closed,
darling. I know they weren't. I just didn't know where to look. And then there was a discussion about if I was boss-eyed. And then it went into kind of all the great boss-eyed people, Barbara Streisand, Aaliyah, all of them. So then it kind of was a huge debate about boss-eyed people.
Well,
but yeah,
that's
it was
good.
Yeah, I'm really thankful that you've just shared that tip with me, because it's been the bane of my showbiz life, to be honest.
Yeah, same. It's terrible. As you get older as well, like I know I can say to the camera person, I am boss-eyed, so just keep that in mind when you're shooting me. Like, shoot around.
It's good to just call it, isn't it? It's good to just call it. And then it's like not an awkward thing in the room. They don't have to just do the profile. We work it out.
And it's all right.
Very odd expression, boss-eyed, isn't it?
Yeah, what? Why is it boss?
I wonder where it comes from.
I don't know.
It's like boss-eyed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like a good thing.
We're the boss bitches, yeah. Gemma Arterton, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for
I will find
me.
You in the street another time, and I will look at you with my boss eye, and you may not think I'm looking at you, but
you
I am looking at you.
Same.
She look like?
I'm going to milk this because I definitely don't look like Gemma Arterton, but she is fantastic looking.
She's just perfect looking, isn't she?
Her bone structure is insane.
But I kind of loved how gentle she was when she spoke.
Like, she was just really sophisticated, the way that she moved, and everything was very kind of beautiful and elegant. And I'm a bit in love. Thank you, Gemma Arterton. Mum, I was slightly starstruck. That's why I went, Gemma, it's been a while. I haven't ever met her. And she's such a good actress. She said, yes, Jessie.
We did see her once in the theatre, Jess. Do you remember?
Did we?
Yeah. Oh, and maybe I was with Hannah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to gorgeous, gorgeous Gemma Arterton. Everyone go and watch Black Narcissus on Christmas Day to see Gemma Arterton looking really fit as a nun. And also acting very well. And it's very moody, psychological drama, very tense. Lots of nuns being tense. It is really good. We will be back next week with a new guest. Please, someone get us out of this lockdown so I could have actually smelt and touched the damn girl. Table Manners is produced by Alice Williams.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.